Good afternoon, brethren. Glad to see all of you. Welcome again to a beautiful Sabbath day. I want to put another little punch in as far as this coronavirus and the copies that we have on the information table. And it's not that Mr. Kubik is warning everybody to become, you know, frantic or anything, but to give us assurance that, you know, God is on our side. God will protect us, of course. But there are things that God expects us to do along the way to protect ourselves from this virus. You know, I have the answer for that. I have the cure for that. And you do too. Just turn in your Bible to Exodus chapter 15. And I'm going to read this one verse from the NIV of Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26 from the NIV. And it says, God said, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes. That's just a clear statement right there. Then what happens? If you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, God says, I will not bring on you any of the disease that I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your God. There we have it. If this world, if this country, if the United States would declare a day of fasting and praying, I'll assure you that God would hear and he would do something about it. But see, we all are going in our own directions. God has given us the answer. Here's the answer for the cure, you know, and everything. You know, he just said that. I believe what he said. The Egyptians had a lot of diseases and everything brought upon them because of their disobedience. And it's the same criteria here. Brethren, this world is falling apart. And I hope that you will take the opportunity, what time we have left on this earth, that you and I would take the opportunity to just meditate on what God is trying to show us. Now, God's going to wake us up. I mean, he's going to make sure that this world at the end time will recognize that he is God. There may be a lot of catastrophes that comes before that. I don't know. As we go through life from time to time, we sometimes, you know, may be required to have a medical examination to determine the help we may need to stay in good health. Besides the daily spiritual examination that we should do, there is, for God's people, an annual examination that God requires. It is desirable to examine or prove ourselves to know we are in alignment with God's mind and his will. We check ourselves, as it were, to ensure that we are walking worthy of our calling. Passover is only a short time away. Now, as Christians, we need to consider, brethren, the self-examination process. And this is what we want to look at today. in today's sermon. The examination process for God's people. In the sermon title, The Danger of Being Disqualified. The Danger of Being Disqualified. So my purpose today is to give you the process for examination. So let's begin by turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We will read verse 28 through verse 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul says to the church in Corinth, verse 28 of chapter 11, Paul writes, "But let a man examine himself, so that let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." And verse 30 says, "For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." Now this sleep is not talking about somebody taking a nap on the sofa. It's talking about death. Many people are sick physically and dead because of these things that they don't observe. It's obvious, brethren, that because of the times in which we live, self-examination is very necessary so that we can correct ourselves on a daily basis to make sure that we continue to bring honor to God and to Jesus Christ. So the Passover is one of the most solemn events in scriptures. And we will see why that is as we go through the sermon. And it should cause us to take a close look at ourselves and examine ourselves to see how we are in relationship with God. To see how far we have grown and how much we need to overcome. You know, as human beings, the danger of being disqualified comes when the most honest person cannot see himself as others do. The annual self-examination before Passover is a blessing to all of us. Since we cannot and do not be perfect, we can't be perfect because we're human, of course. And we have a lot of faults. Even when we're honest with ourselves, that we may fail to look at ourselves as we should. But God, in His mercies, reveals these things to us so we can repent of them. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, there's a warning from Apostle Paul in these two verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. It reads, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." Now the Passover is all about love and repentance. Love and repentance is all hovered around Passover. Down through the years, many people have failed to see this. But we hope, brethren, it is my desire today to give you information that will help us all, that we can come together as God's people and realize the seriousness of the Passover and what it should mean to all of us. Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. And this is a prayer to God from the psalmist. Verse 23 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." This should be our prayer as well. This should be the prayer that we are praying as the Passover is approaching. We must ask God to do the same thing for us in our lives today as the psalmist was, especially during the time before the Passover. Human nature is blind to problems in our character. So we must ask God to show us these things, to show us the things that we cannot see. The main characteristics of a Christian person is the willingness to admit the things that they are doing is wrong and repent. And God loves repentance. God loves repentance. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We will read verses 22 through 25. This message is to all of us today. James chapter 1, verse 22. "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, then this one will be blessed in what he does." So in these verses we see that we just read, we can see our minds should be open to the importance of doing and growing in this area. What the book of James is telling us here is these verses is it is not sufficient to just listen to the word, but we must respond and obey what we hear. In verse 23 to 24, he likens to the ones who listen and does nothing. And if that is so, then it's like a man who glances his face in a mirror and forget what he looks like. What God is telling us here is to act on what we see in our lives that it is not in alignment with God's teaching, and make the next necessary correction. Now, I want to give you four main keys that will help when it comes to examining ourselves before the Passover. Key number one, do you really know yourself? Do you really know yourself? There was a famous song many years ago, you may remember, was titled, "Getting to Know You." I know some of you maybe remember that. It's very important, brethren, that we know ourselves. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. We will read verses 3 through 5. Galatians chapter 6, verse 3. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. In verse 5, for each one shall bear his own load. Now the Greek word here, examine, means, according to Vine's expository dictionary of the New Testament, means to test, to prove, to discern, or to distinguish. So the Living Bible translation adds a little more clarity to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 4. And this is how it reads, let everyone be sure that he is doing his very best, for then he will have the personal satisfaction of work well done and won't need to compare himself with anyone else. You know, the Bible says that we should not compare ourselves among ourselves. 2 Corinthians, we'll just read that, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul admonishing the brethren in Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Paul writes, for we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they measure themselves by themselves, and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. So if we are really sincere in, you know, examining ourselves before God, we should ask God to make us understand, and help us to understand the depths of our beings. It is then, it becomes our responsibility, once we do that, to prepare to repent fully before God and give Him thanks for making these things known to us. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. We will read verses 12 through 15. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed in obeyed not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You know, the great tragedy for so many people in the world today is that they never really move forward. They continue to be victims of the same habits, slaves of the same temptation, guilty of the same failures. But the true Christian life that we live, brethren, must be a life of moving forward toward the kingdom of God. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 23. Colossians 1, verse 23. If indeed you continued in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which as preached to every creature under the heavens, of which Paul became a minister. So, this is showing that we should move forward, stay well grounded, steadfast in the scriptures. Let's notice again in some admonition here in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. We will read verses 10 and 11. So therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. In verse 11, for as so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is good information. We certainly should take to heart. But I want to go back just for a moment when it said if we do these things in verse 10. You will never stumble. But what is he talking about here? The things that we could do that we will never stumble. Well, let's notice what they are. Let's read verse 5, 6, and 7 of 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, again, I'm giving you the wrong thing. 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3 to see what these things are that will keep us from never stumbling. 2 Peter chapter... All of my notes flew away. Apologize for this. I'll come back to this because I can't comment on what I need to at this point. But the things that we need to do, we'll find them in verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. And I'll need to find the chapter for that. All right, let's go to the key. Key number two, is it possible not to know yourself? Now we gave key number one. Key number two, is it possible not to know yourself? So we have learned many things in life as we went through and we go through trials, tests, suffering over the years. And we must admit, brethren, that there has been some good years for all of us. Many times we had some suffering and disappointment, but we have also had many good memories of joy, peace, spiritual growth. And for this reason, we need to give God thanks for all these things and the things that we have enjoyed down through the years. It hasn't all been bad. We all have had many difficult times in our lives, but God has also given us some good times. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's notice verse 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Apostle Paul writes, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have from God, and you are not your own?" Verse 20, "For you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So we must realize the magnitude of our relationship that we have, which brings on a responsibility that we have to God, to live every second of our lives as an example of God's way of life. You know, Solomon writes in Proverbs chapter 4, he says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." So the heart, the mind, is the storehouse of our character. We must spend time, brethren, in meditation and prayer. Now, this is a solemn and a sobering time of the year for all of us. But we must come before God with humility and a heart ready to repent of the flaws that we know that exist in our lives. Now let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, a prayer that Paul was praying to the church. Beginning in verse 14, he says, "For this reason," Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole body in heaven and earth are named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us." Verse 21, "To him be glory in the church of Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever." And of course he says amen to that. So we go to now to key number three. Key number three: do you not know that Jesus Christ is in you? Do you not know that Jesus Christ is in you? Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse verse 16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. We continue in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, in verse 1. Therefore, having the promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Brethren, because we have been called and now are the children of God, we are special to God. But nothing of our own makes us special. It's only God's dwelling in us by His Holy Spirit that separates us from the world. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Verse 23. John chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus answered and said to them, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. That's a serious statement. So we can ask ourselves, what kind of home are we providing for God the Father and Jesus Christ to dwell in? Because he said, you know, he would come and dwell with us. What type of home do we have with Jesus Christ and his Father? But we'll let each one answer that for themselves. The final key, number 4. Unless indeed you are disqualified. It's number 4. Unless indeed you are disqualified. Meaning, someone not standing the test. And this can happen to those who refuse and reject God and His teaching. And this is what is happening in our world, in our society today. Let's turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Begin reading in verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Verse 22, professing to be wise, they became fools. We continue in verse 23, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible men and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. So when they did all of this, notice what God said in verse 24. Therefore God also gave them up to the uncleanness of the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. And when they did this, notice what else took place. verse 25, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped, served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. What do you think this is? Do you see that today? Lesbians. This is what this is talking about, lesbians. Now let's continue. Verse 27. Likewise, also the men, having leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of the error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do the things which are not fitting. That's a shame. And we hear people say, oh, we were born that way. No, you're not born that way. The Bible says different. And God's going to cast, if they don't repent, God's going to cast these people into the lake of fire. That's the bottom line. And we have poor leadership in our country. We have poor leadership in our country. We have this type in our political arena. And people just clap, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Clapping at all of the sins that stands on the stage and talks about different things. And they're all, you know, caught up in just what we read. But God's going to do away with that, brethren. It's coming to an end. I hope we can see how this country is falling apart. But we who have God's Holy Spirit, I hope that we will wake up and see the times that we're living in. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, verse 16. Titus chapter 1, verse 16, they profess to know God, but in their works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. So we see from reading these verses a whole pattern of evil that has become the lifestyle of this world, who continue to disapprove the way of God. Brethren, this is why God tells us in His Word to have no lifestyle with this type of worldly things. 2 Corinthians. Go back to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So being disqualified or rejecting is the opposite of having Christ dwelling in us. A disqualified person is cut off from God. And this is the worst thing that can happen to any of us, because when that happens, that person returns back into a lifestyle of sin. God loves us all. God intends for us to discover the reality of nature. As we examine ourselves this year and every year before the Passover, God expects us to prepare ourselves as mature Christians, to rededicate ourselves to Him afresh for Passover. And to put sin out of our lives, which we learned from the lessons of the days of unleavened bread. So as we approach the Passover this year, we do well, brethren, to fast regarding our sins and our shortcomings. There's no need for us to be discouraged at Passover time. Because it gives us the opportunity to reaffirm our commitment to God, to renew our dedication, putting on the new man. We need to ask God for a clean heart before Him with hope, joy, and peace. In considering the process of Passover, we saw four important keys that will help us before Passover. And we need to ask God for a clean heart before we start. We saw the four keys. Examine yourself as whether you are in the faith. Do you not know yourself? Was number two. Do you not know that Christ Jesus is in you? Number three, the last one, unless indeed you are disqualified. Before we conclude for today, as we prepare for the Passover, there are three things we all should consider. There are many, many more, of course, but we will notice these three things that Passover shows us. And I mentioned this before, but Passover shows a time of love. And we all know what John chapter 3 and verse 16 says by heart, some memory scripture. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, for whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And this is what God wants for all of us. And I think a lot of time, you know, in spite of all the suffering that God went through, or Jesus Christ went through, He still had love for those people that He put to death. The love that Christ has for us cost Him His life. And there are no words to describe the pain and suffering that Christ endured for us. And this is why this year, above all the years that we've had in the past, brethren, we need to buckle down and really take the Passover as a serious time. Think about the agony and pain that Christ went through for us because He loved us. I want to show you just a little demonstration here, get our minds thinking on these lines. You know, we hear statements that, Christ was nailed to the cross and nailed to the stake, and that's true, He was. But when we think of a nail, we just in our minds a little nail. We think of something about like this. That's what we think of as a nail. And the men, you know, they know what this is, a small finishing nail. There's not a lot of resistance for this nail because it's thin. And we say that Christ was nailed to the cross. Well, we can get that in our mind. But when we do a history church, a search, and we go back to all the particulars, and we look up all the writings on this, it's more than a nail. And you will find that Christ was fastened to the cross through the stake or whatever, with a stake. A stake. This is a stake. Now, I don't have no proof that the stake that was used to, you know, drive into Christ's hands and his foot was this size and this length. I don't know. But history shows that Christ was fastened with a stake, with stakes. And it was the Roman soldiers, it was their duty to put fear in all those around them, because the Roman Empire wanted to rule, to be the ruler of the world. So they controlled all of the valleys and the surroundings by emplacing fear into those that they came in contact with. So a nail meant nothing to them. But to drive a stake into a person brought a lot more fear. It brought a lot more anger. And all of those people that was on the sidelines watching, the disciples wasn't there, of course. They had vanished somewhere. But all of the people that were standing there watching, you know, they was watching in awe, because they was looking at the suffering that Christ went through. Now let's just turn to Isaiah chapter 52. And we'll just give a brief statement on this. Isaiah chapter 52. I'm going to read this from the NIV. Verse 14, Isaiah 52, verse 14 from the NIV, it states, just as there were many who were applauded at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So if you read the history, Christ was not recognizable at this point. Through all the beatings and everything at that point, he was not recognized. His face was so torn up. And it was all because Christ was really willing to suffer, because he loved us so much. Now, I saw a month or so ago, and I know the men sometimes like a good old Western. I see a Western sometimes, and, you know, some I don't care for. But I was watching this Western to give you an idea of what we're talking about here, love. And there was this rancher out in the West country, and he had a huge ranch. And it said he had over 300 acres of cows, and had a large ranch. But he put up a fence around the ranch. And the Indians up in the mountains did not appreciate the fence that he'd put up around his ranch, because they needed to have access to the buffalo. The buffalo was coming down, migrating with his cattle. So they met with the rancher and asked him, would he take down the whispering wires? And they called it whispering wires, and that's all they said, but I thought, well, he's talking about a barbed wire fence when you're talking about the whispering wires. But it was keeping once those buffaloes came down and migrated with his cattle, those buffaloes, which the Indians was dependent on for their hides and also their meat for the winter, was no longer there, because the buffaloes were migrating with the rancher's cattle. But the rancher, he said, no, I'm not going to take the fence down. And he would not. take the fence down. But that didn't go well with the Indians. They went to his ranch and they captured his little girl. And she was, looked to me, about 11 or 12 years old. And they took the little girl to the camp. And then they sent word back to the rancher and they said, "We have your little girl. And unless you agree to take these wires down, you will never see her again." But he still refused. And they sent him word again. And they said, "If you will agree to come to our camp and go through the sufferings that we will, inflict upon you without ever crying out in agony or anything, if you will do this, we'll release that girl back to you." So he said, "Yeah, I'll do that." So they took the man into the camp. They spread his hands, legs out, had this huge, it wasn't a cross, but it was a huge box of some type that they spread him out and fastened his hands and feet. And he turned him upside down. And it was in the heat of the day. So they had a chant going on, and this medicine man was hobbing around, and he went around 4 or 5 times in the area there. And then he got on his pony, and he had this whip. And every time that he would come by the rancher, he would lash out at him. And so every time he made a lash on him, all his surroundings around his back and everything, the flesh just opened up. But the rancher never said anything. He endured all of that because he had the love to get his little girl back. So he went through all the suffering. And I'm not comparing this at all with the crucifixion of Christ. I'm just showing you what love can do for a person if you love him. So this is what happened with the rancher. The rancher endured all of this punishment because he loved his little girl. And at the end, he never gave out a cry. They took him down off of this board, and he was not conscious. He collapsed. They gave him the little girl back, but he also forgave them for the punishment that they gave him. And I thought this is just something ran through my mind in this season, how much God loved us to go through all the suffering that this rancher portrayed there for his little girl. And we know that the suffering that Christ went through is for the whole creation, the whole world. He suffered for us. So, brethren, this should be a most meaningful Passover for all of us. Now, the second thing I want to show you is the Passover shows a time of repentance. Using the four-letter word "turn" shows us that Christ gave his life to pay the penalty for all of our sins. Turn from the things that we have allowed to creep back into our lives from last Passover. Maybe some new things has come up. But it shows a time of repentance. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 31. Isaiah 40, verse 31. "But let those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Number three, Passover shows a time of forgiveness, both past, present, and future. So if we, as we approach to the Passover, we should not have anything in our lives in the way of, you know, being holding grudges or anything to anybody, toward anybody, present, past, or future. So through all the pain and suffering Jesus Christ experienced, because he loved us so much that he gave us his life for us. Final scriptures, please turn to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Jesus said, through all of the suffering that he went through, he was hanging there in pain and agony. But this is what he said in verse 34, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots. So in our self-examination, brethren, let's all ask God to forgive us and to clean us up for the Passover and to give us a clean heart.